What you're about to hear was aired on Planet Philadelphia, environmental radio show on Germantown Community Radio, 92.9 FM, WGGTLP in Philadelphia, and on gtownradio.com. I'm Kay Wood, and I will be talking with Lady Danny and Anissa George. The reason I got in touch was I saw an article that Anissa George wrote in Grid magazine titled, Our Heritage Trees Are on the Chopping Block Again. But before we start talking about that, I'd like you to introduce yourselves. And I guess, Anissa, if you could start.
Yeah, actually, it's the second of two articles that I wrote about this western half of FDR Park. The first was written in, early 2022. Coming out of having discovered that space in the pandemic after the golf course shuttered and the space rewilded, that just happened to correspond right at that moment when we were going into lockdown and we were desperately seeking for places to go outside of the four walls of our rooms and our houses. And it was such a blessing during that time. And because I live in South Philadelphia, it was my go-to place. It's one of the only places I can go, on a bike. I don't have to take a 35-minute car ride. And so, yeah, it just became my space. And I was there with two four-year-olds that I was potted up with almost all the time, just wandering around and reveling in how the land just began to express itself and to come alive, and nobody seeded a single flower down there. And all of a sudden we had meadows that were expansive and, 6 feet tall. And so it was really a miracle to behold. And then I realized that the city, the plan was basically to demolish the entire thing. And that was very heartbreaking. So, I've been sort of writing about this and organizing about this issue ever since. Yeah, and that's the space where I met Lady Danny. So she can take it away from there.
How do I begin? Somewhere around 2019, I first started doing some foraging tours at FDR Park, but it was largely around the outside. My husband had grown up in the area, and he encouraged me to go back into the golf course, which at that point had just, been decommissioned. And it was life-changing. It was completely different from the rest of the park. The number of species of trees, not to mention plants. There were some things that I found there that I didn't find in any other green space that we were foraging in Philadelphia, like Mongliae, Beccaria limifolia. It was just so amazing, the variety, just the density. To be able to go into this space in an urban setting, and at that point, none of the trees had been cut. So you really would get in the middle of the park, and it was like, you were, in some primeval forest. It was not the city at all. And it breaks my heart because I still go down there, but it is every time that I see something else that's cut or more water that's coming in from areas, because Parks and Recs just have done a really horrible job. And I think they've lied consistently about what their plan was from the beginning, as well as they keep pushing this thing as we're making it better for you, and they're not making it better for any of us.
I'm a little confused because I was following what was going on a couple of years back, and it sounded like then it was going to make the place better, but it sounds like that is not what is happening. I didn't think they were going to be cutting down all those trees, for one.
Yeah, they never talk about the trees they're going to cut down. They bring in so many renderings that are full of trees that are about, 50 years old. And they don't tell you that, that's not going to happen tomorrow. Those are the trees that exist. Because the trees that exist, they're going to take down. They're going to plant trees that are 2.5-inch diameter. And you'll be dead before they, become the trees that exist today. So that's the, rude awakening that I think we've all been having as we watch this thing transpire.
It was a meadow, it was rewilded. Why did they decide to do something here at the park?
You know my answer to this. M-O-N-E-Y. That is why. I don't think it is to really do something that's wonderful for the community, because if water remediation was just the issue, there are other ways it could have been addressed. I mean, we talked with some other people initially about even some wild ideas like rice paddies, because it would take advantage of the watering system and then it would also benefit the community, especially people that had never seen anything like that grow. I don't understand the greed that's involved, because there are so many stories that are spun to so many communities about how this is going to benefit you. And I don't think in the final analysis, it's going to benefit anybody. I mean, this is a really weird metaphor for it. But if you had a company that was in South Philly that was recycling something so that humans could use it and they were giving it to you for free, why would you destroy that company? And that's what trees are. They take in the carbon dioxide that we push out, they turn it into oxygen, they sequester carbon to make the area cooler. And instead of saying, "Thank you, what a great idea. How can we possibly use this to the mayor's clean green agenda?" Instead, we're going to rip it all down.
This had something to do with the Philadelphia airport. And I'm not sure people know the connection. I don't know, Anissa, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so there's different phases to the FDR master plan. The first phase was the airport mitigation project, which is a result of the airport extending their cargo area and destroying wetlands in their tidal zone. And you can't do that in this country without replacing it elsewhere, without mitigating it elsewhere. And so they looked at the FDR site and they thought, said, how about here? And Fairmount Park Conservancy said, yes, thank you. We'll take that $50 million and do your mitigation project here. And that's how we lost the first 50 acres in the west side of FDR Park in that airport mitigation, which is a net loss for the community because, of course, we lost the wetlands over by the airport. There's actually 120 acres that they expanded into, but only about, I think, 20 of that counts as wetland. And then we lost mature canopy in FDR Park, you know, which has been, of course, characterized by the Conservancy as wasteland and full of invasives, et cetera, and a plug on the drainage of the park. But, you know, those of us who are intimate with that space think that's absolute nonsense because there were mature native species there. There were 14 species of native trees that were itemized in the mitigation report that went down. And some of those were the oldest, largest trees in the entire park. Undoubtedly, that space was doing ecological services for the park and for our wider community that are now like have been leveled to zero. And it will take years and years and years. And I hope that that project does succeed because of how much money has gone into it and how much we've lost as a result of it. But it will be years and years before that space does anything equal to the space that was destroyed. So that's the first phase. That phase is now done. Now we're going into phase two. And phase two is this recreational area, which is going to be five multi-purpose athletic fields, you know, soccer and football, four baseball diamonds, basketball courts, tennis courts, a very large parking lot, et cetera. And it's because of this phase that there's 432 trees in total going down, including 63 heritage trees, many of which they are disqualifying for replacement because they're calling dead, damaged, diseased, or of an undesirable species. But again, even a dead tree does ecological services and and does habitat building and catalyzes biodiversity. So it's heartbreaking to see how the city again and again characterizes this very vital space as a wasteland and makes that an excuse to just clean slate, bulldoze it to the ground. That's what's happening.
It is said that this is for sports fields, and I'm sure there is a need in the community for sports fields. But is what they're doing there at FDR Park really the best way to do that?
Go for it, Danny.
Yes, there is a need for sports fields, especially in communities that are underserved and have issues with youth violence. However, the warehousing of so many recreational areas right here at the park does a number of things. Number one, for the people that live around the park, all of a sudden you're going to have tremendous traffic that comes there. So there's going to be the traffic and the pollution that ensues with that. Also, we're talking about a parking lot that's going to have to be covered with something. whether that's asphalt or whatever. And we're talking about fields that are being covered with artificial turf. Now, Parks and Recreation says, oh, well, you won't have to worry because we've done our due diligence and this artificial turf does not have PFAS. But we know from Anissa's conversation with the doctor who discovered PFAS that that's not true. And even if it were true, the runoff that you would get from the microplastics that exist in the surface covering is still going to go into our groundwater and wash right down into our water system. Not to mention, a lot of the trees that they're pulling out, Philadelphia has already lost like 6% of its tree canopy in the last 10 years. How much more of that gets lost by this development? It's unwise, it's unfortunate, and unfortunately, it's a divide and conquer mentality because they paint anyone that's opposed to this as, oh, you're just NIMBYs that want your green space and you don't care about the wider community. They sell it to underserved communities as, we're listening to you, so we're going to give you these. And then the final analysis, I really don't think that this is going to benefit anybody in Philadelphia. The location is just too close to I-95. That makes it really easy for people in North Wilmington, Westchester area who are looking for tournament play to all of a sudden be able to descend on this ground and to use it. So when they paint this as we're doing the most technologically advanced fields and things for kids in Philadelphia to provide an outlet that gives them a safe play area and away from gangs and violence and everything, I don't think that's going to be the case. I really think it's just going to be for the people that can drive in, use the fields, and drive back out again. And in the meantime, all of us are left with, toxic turf, some of this dirt that's come in to raise the fields. So you're raising up things that you're then covering in toxins that are all going to go downhill and into water systems. Not to mention, people constantly forget about pollinators that are not bees. There are lots of other bugs and things that do wonderful things for, we need them for our vegetation. And if you start covering the ground and they can't get through that surface, they're going to die too. We've already seen problems with deer that have no place to go in the park. They are now going over to the Philadelphia Navy Yard. They are going to soon start development at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Where do they go then? But then when people are hitting them on the highway, it's always the deer's fault. It's never man's fault for coming in and taking over and then blowing up habitats that other people, we're not, I mean, I know we're top of the food chain, but we need to have a little compassion for the other things that are here too. We share the earth. The whole Lenape thing is like, you are not separate from the earth. You are the earth. We are intrinsically connected. And this whole thing with Parks and Recreation and Fairmount Park Conservancy, a conservancy that does not conserve. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I'm very happy to hear your thoughts. You mentioned artificial turf containing PFAS, and I've read a number of articles saying that there's problems with artificial turf having like endocrine disruption and causing cancer and various things, and that it particularly would harm young children and pregnant women. And I was wondering, has the Conservancy said anything about this?
It seems at the moment that the Conservancy is sort of buying whatever the turf companies are selling about PFAS and not listening to the scientists that are actually doing the work. PFAS is an umbrella term for over 10,000 chemicals. I think only a dozen of them have been studied in terms of their effect on human health. And the bans around them sort of started to begin about 4 years ago. So California tried to ban it, and then it was vetoed by the governor, but the governor said the cities could ban it. So the cities of California are now banning it. Boston has banned it. And so it's like there's a little bit of whack-a-mole going on right now, and the turf companies are trying to outmaneuver the bans by and be creating products that are PFAS-free. But what does that mean? Because when you look more deeply into it, you see, for example, the Synthetic Turf Council's letter to the state of California, that they would like the levels to be not one part per million as a standard, but 50 or 100 parts per million. And at that level of toxicity, their products will pass, you see? So you really have to do due diligence and really drill them on what do they mean by PFAS free? Do they mean one part per million or do they mean 100 parts per million? Because that really makes a difference when it comes to toxicity in, for example, a pregnant mother. So we would like to see an independent toxicology report when it comes to the product that they end up using there. But they just keep telling us, you know, we do this through a bid process, so we don't know what our product is yet, but we can tell you that some suppliers do supply PFAS-free turp. And we're like, if you don't know who your supplier is, you don't know that it's PFAS-free. That's simple logic. So please stop this false advertising to the community. Because we were just at a community meeting, for example, and they're handing out postcards on every seat saying the turf will be PFAS-free. Well, you don't know that if you don't know who your vendor is. So that's just lying.
Who is the representative on the city council? And then we have a new mayor. So have you talked with them? What are their opinions? I guess Lady Danny, do you want to take that?
Well, we know that the mayor is supportive of it because when they did have a rally for the fields, she was out in full force saying that she supports the fields. I think that it's one thing to support an idea of grounds that will help underserved communities if they're looking for a place for their kids to play safely. That's one thing. But it's quite another to allow this to go forward without really understanding what you're setting people up for. And we did hear at the meetings, people were saying, well, you know, our kids are dying in the community every day. So at that point, they really didn't care whether we're talking about PFAS or not. So I get that. But here's the deal. The poor are always the ones that pay the largest price. So let's say they're right. Let's say that the turf is PFAS free. Let's say it's just a matter of we get these kids out there, they have somewhere to play. What happens with injury rates? Because we do know that despite what the manufacturers say, there are reports in current sports medicine journals that are indicating that doctors are seeing higher rates of not only lower leg, muscular, and ligament damage, but they're also seeing higher rates of burns and abrasions and infections from the turf. So all of these things have the potential then to snowball into some medical issue. If you don't have enough medical coverage, then what are you putting your kids in harm's way up? You know? And I think right now we don't know between that and just the microplastics that run off and how that affects the water. They want to play this as we're going to do the fields here, and then for little kids that are not interested in sports, we'll have, you know, an ecological core. And they can go around there and they can see fish and they can see wildlife. Unless you're talking Blinky, the three-eyed fish, I really don't think many healthy wildlife are going to be around an area that's got toxic water. I'm sorry. And then you keep removing plants and saying, oh, well, this one's dead or this one's an invasive. Let me tell you, if you're trying to really grow trees as quickly as they show them in renderings, you would have to grow something like Paulownia, which can go to a full-size tree in like 5 to 7 years. Paulownia is not a tree that people want. And when you're talking about remediation for these microplastics, you're talking about birch. So I really don't understand, you know, how even their planning situation for the replacement trees that they select. They just seem to be making this into a big recreational area. And, you know, sometimes parks should just be what they are. There is so much that we get from a park situation that doesn't have all this recreational stuff. There are reports that just spending time in nature, as little as 20 minutes, can reduce levels of cortisol in your body, reduce stress, reduce anger issues, also just make you have a better sense of self and well-being. That's just from being in the green space. And it's got to be real green space, not artificial green space. So I think we're taking something and trying to placate a special interest group, which is basically what a lot of these people that are pushing so hard for the fields and playing fields and tennis courts and basketball courts. In trying to appease them, we're missing a wider swath of people in Philadelphia, the people who just want to explore nature, the people that want to hike, the people that want to simply just sit outside because there's not a green area in their neighborhood. So they go to the park just to have that moment of solace. And I think we're setting ourselves up for realistically a Superfund site because Anissa had said before that, you know, we didn't know what lead paint did. We didn't know we put in asbestos. We didn't know about, you know, any of these things. It's years later that we find out the impact. I think the same thing is happening with artificial turf. I think in putting in that much artificial turf and the additional asphalt for, parking spaces and things like that. I think the runoff, all those chemicals, and we already know that there are issues with flooding in Philadelphia, and you start removing trees and roots that hold down the ground that kind of slow down that water from going into our sewer systems. It's the perfect storm for a really big ecological disaster. And if people don't stop and think about this before they press ahead, in 10 years, and from what some doctors say, it may not even be 10, it may be 5 years. Because if you're talking about young people playing on a turf situation and they're getting cuts and it's being absorbed into their body or simply from breathing and playing on it and going face down into artificial grass and inhaling all of that, as their bodies are growing, who's to say what's going to happen in 5 years when they start hitting all of that in their body already and then puberty and hormones and everything else on top of it? We went really hard on getting microplastics and those little bubbles out of shower gels and things. And yet we are willing to do this, and the same kind of thing is going to happen. I just it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical at all.
There was actually just a peer-reviewed study coming out of Spain that said that 15% of microplastics found in the streams, rivers were from turf, which I found an astounding amount. That is not an insignificant amount of plastic trash in our waterways. And these fields are being placed in a tidal zone nested within several creeks that are going into the Schuylkill and Delaware River. It's irresponsible. Even if you were to eliminate the PFAS problem and you don't take the problem away, the heat island effect, these fields overheat sometimes to 160 degrees. Kids have died of heat stroke on these fields. This has been compounded by climate change. And then also the elevated injuries that are happening, which is why FIFA has banned this stuff. And the NFL Players Association is calling for its elimination as well. So the professional athletes know they don't want it. But our conservancy is cutting corners because of maintenance costs. They think they're going to save money on maintenance on these fields, which is a myth because they need to be maintained. It's when you don't maintain them that they get extra dangerous because they need to be sprayed to cool them down. They need to be fluffed up. They lose the infill, especially when you use natural materials through all of the bouncing and through strong storms, etc. All of it washes away. You need to spend thousands of dollars to replace that natural infill every year. And then they have a shelf life of 8 to 10 years. In which case you have to roll them up, pay for them to be replaced, pay for new fields, which is about $500,000, I understand. So this is just so short-sighted on the part of the city that it's bonkers. I don't even understand why we have to waste our breath arguing about it. It is such a bad idea.
You've brought up some really powerful issues. What about your city council representative? Do they have an opinion about this?
I have reached out to my city council person, which is Mark Squila, and we're not getting anything. I'm not getting anything on that issue. Kenyatta Johnson, and it's really his district that this falls in, he's fully for it. If you are creating something that you believe is going to be so helpful for your community, anything anybody says to you about it, sour grapes. You don't want to hear it. But one of the things they really should listen to is what Anissa was saying about replacement of fields. Yeah, maybe you'll get that, what did you say, 10, 15 years out of it? 10 years? I think it's going to be less than that because with the heating situation and the overheating of the area, when you look at Philadelphia as a whole, okay, and we're talking like, was it 2.5 million people? About 500,000 of them live in areas that have a higher heat island effect than the rest. Like we're talking 9 to 12 degrees hotter than other places in the city. The hottest places in the city are North Philly, West Philly, and South Philly. So you talk about that, 9 to 12 degrees hotter, number one. And then all of the parks that exist in those areas are now under Fairmount Park Conservancy and Parks and Recreation's master plan. And whenever the word master plan comes in, one of the first things that they talk about is water remediation issues. And the second one is, oh, we're going to clear it so we can make trails and things better. And that always means removal of trees. So by removing trees in places that are already hotter, you're doing nothing but exacerbating that whole issue. And that is what I think is really the most reckless part, because a lot of people who thought, the fields were great, aren't thinking about the heat level, and especially when these fields heat up. So let's say you have some soccer match planned for August. It's over 100. The field is even hotter. That means the kids can't play on that without risk of burns and everything else. So what do? You play at night. And they have announced that they will be putting in lighting for all of these fields. How does that affect not only the people that live around the park, but also bird migratory patterns? So we're not only destroying the trees, we're not only destroying our ability to breed, that all has an impact on children that already have, when it comes to playing on these fields, boys have higher asthma rates than girls. And that increases, boys have a higher, like 8% higher asthma rates than girls, just as a baseline. When it comes to Black kids, that's 11% higher. When it comes to Puerto Rican boys, that's 14% higher. So by removing these trees, by heating up the area, by having that whole urban heat island, you're talking about more and more issues for breathing and health. And I mean, thank God we have some of the best, hospitals in the world, because we're going to need them.
What do you suggest people do? I mean, you've said you've talked to Mark Squilla and Kenyatta Johnson. Do you have suggestions for folks?
I mean, people are welcome to sue the city if they'd like to. I mean, that might be the only recourse at this point. The mayor has endorsed it. Kenyatta, who is also the president of council, has endorsed it. The Inquirer has come out and endorsed it. There's a zoning hearing happening that will either grant the permit to the conservancy to take down the trees or not. And that seems to be the last thing that's standing in their way once they get that permit. They won't hesitate for a second to bulldoze all those trees. And it's in direct contradiction and direct conflict with other initiatives that the city are making, which is the most maddening thing. Like the Philly Tree Plan, which came out, which is a brilliant plan that was composed by, over 7,000 individuals around Philadelphia, that it states explicitly that the preservation of our existing canopy is of primary importance. And that it makes more sense, both ecologically and economically, to save the trees we have than to try to expand the canopy through new planting. We cannot keep pace just through the efforts of tree tenders with what our tree canopy needs to be. We have to preserve the existing canopy.
I take absolutely no pleasure in knowing that this is going to go down in flames. But you know what? As long as I have a voice and I can put it out there, I'm going to go down in flames with it, because this is just too important. I'm losing spaces. My whole pleasure in showing people urban foraging was the fact that these plants are not only edible, but medicinal, and they're here all the time. Nature just gives them to you. It's a gift. The areas that I can take people are shrinking more and more, and not just at FDR, because then the plan, and because it's all under Fairmount Park Conservancy umbrella, it encompasses all of the parks. So the things that happen in Cobbs Creek affect me. The things that happen in Tacony affect me. The things that are happening now as they're doing the expansion in Fairmount Park, both east and west sides. So soon there won't be. I am now starting to spend more time investigating the benefits of ornamental plants, because that's what's going to be left. We are just destroying anything that comes up natural. So unless somebody absolutely goes to Home Depot and brings it home in a pot, that's what I'm going to be left with. All
Very
right,
nice
ladies, have a
talking
great
with
day.
you
Bye.
too. Bye-bye. If you want to know more about Planet Philadelphia, go to planetphiladelphia.com. You could also find out more about other G-Town Radio programming by going to gtownradio.com. I hope you will consider making a small monthly donation to help Planet Philadelphia continue presenting interviews on important underreported environmental topics and exploring their complexities and intersections. Thank you so much for your support.